Welcome back, everyone, to another intimate, unfiltered, and soul-deep conversation here on After Hours Let's Talk. I'm your host, Shorty For Real, and tonight's episode is special because we're diving into a story that many live, but few are ever given the space to voice. So we're talking about what it really means to go from boyhood to manhood without a father figure. The confusion, the pain, the resilience, the transformation, and the choices that shape who you ultimately become. And tonight, we're joined by an incredible guest, Loris Hervey, owner of Horizon Up Printing, a man who turned adversity into ambition and built a life rooted in vision, discipline, and purpose. Beyond entrepreneurship, his journey has taken him from the silence of not knowing to strength of defining manhood on his own terms. So grab a seat, grab something to drink, and let's dive deep into our conversation. But first, we're going to go into our What's On Your Mind Tonight segment. And our listener writes, I grew up without my dad, and now I'm 22 trying to figure out what being a man even means. Some days I feel lost, and other days I feel like I'm doing okay. How do you build something you've never seen? So, Loris, if you would like to speak to that submission.
Yes. First off, thank you for having me on today. I would, for the young man who wrote that in, I would start by getting information from outside sources about manhood. What I mean is, start by finding leaders that you are inspired by. For me, when in my younger days, I was inspired by certain leaders, Louis Farrakhan, Martin Luther King. There was even, neighborhood men who I seen growing up. And I leaned towards some of their ideologies and the things that they believed in to help me feel more of a man and fill those shoes, so to speak.
Nice. And what I would say to our listener here is just, you know, I know sometimes we feel like we don't have those examples in our lives, but if we take a moment and step back and think about the men that were around, uncles, cousins, family, friends, people that we see on a daily basis, even though they may not have been your father, they definitely gave you an insight on what it looks like when it comes to just being a man, you know. So we do take those things from people. So it's not that you haven't seen it. You just wanted to see it from a particular person. So with that being said, we're officially a welcome Loris into the After Hours Lounge. Thank you so much for being here tonight and conversating with us on this topic. If you don't mind, yes, just want to give the audience a little bit about yourself. Introduce yourself.
My name is Loris Hervey. I am born and raised in Portland, Oregon. I own a screen printing business and promotional product business. I am a husband and father, and I love music, and I love to be creative.
Beautiful. All right, Loris. Well, welcome in. Appreciate having you here. So our topic tonight, we are talking about what it looks like to become a man, even though we didn't have a father in our lives. So you are successful. You have two boys, I believe. You said you have two? Two boys. You had somewhat of a troubled childhood, a little bit. So what did that look like for you? Like, how were you able to determine how, like, growing up as a teenage boy and transitioning into an adult, what did that look like for you? And what did you go through, and how did you shape that into the values and the morals that you have today for your own children?
It looked real unstable. So what I mean by that is the values and principles were not instilled in me as a young man. Not saying my mom didn't do a good job. She did a great job, given the resources that she had and, you know, being a single mom. But I'm saying when it comes to being a man should stand for something or else he'll fall for anything. So as a young boy, you find yourself falling for anything, mostly. You know, some of these kids are getting into gangs and stuff like that. And, you know, which was my case, you know, jumped off into some gang life for a little bit. And, you know, it lands you in different places in life. You know, it landed me behind bars. Not as long as some of my other family and friends, thank God, because it only took me a few minutes to realize that I didn't want to be there. And, but you have to have a faith. You have to have faith, and you have to, at that age, I didn't really have faith. I didn't really care too much about any of that, but you start to build faith after a while. After you start seeing friends fall, and you're still here, you're still safe. You know, maybe the bullet whizzed by your head. Maybe, you know, you got jacked and, you know, he could have pulled the trigger, but he didn't. Like, you start to see, or maybe you're out here having unprotected sex as a young boy. You know, they're out here doing their thing. And maybe you didn't catch any diseases. Maybe you didn't get anybody pregnant. You know, like, these things are things that keep you awoke, and you start to pay attention, and you start to, like, appreciate the fact that you weren't caught up in any of those things, even though it wasn't by your accord, because you were doing the most. But that's when you start to realize there has to be something out there, something else. So you start to build your morals and principles and values based on your experiences, your lived experiences.
Right. So without the father figure, you start basing it off of your own experiences. So exactly. I know that we have this debate all the time with males and females and this whole gender war that loves to go on. But me personally, I feel like no matter how well you are as a mom, you know, we do take care of our kids as best as we can. But I always know that it's really hard to raise a boy and help him be a man simply because we don't know what it's like to be a man. So I can teach my son, you know, manners and how to respect women and things like that. But there's just certain things that I cannot instill in him because I don't know what it is like to be a man. So to have male examples in his life, like my dad or my brothers, men that I look up to and I feel like, you know, set a great example, I try to have them in my child's life since his father isn't here physically to be with him and help him do those things. And I think it's hard as women, like we love to say, you know, I could raise a man. And honestly, you could raise a respectable man. You know, he can be respectful and have the empathy and the compassion that we show as women, but he's still missing those core things when it comes to manhood that we just can't offer. So how were you able to navigate through that as growing up with, you said you were looking at figures, but did you have any men directly in your life that you took things from?
Yes, it's like a domino effect far as how far you got to go to get to those, to get to that help in becoming a man. So what I mean is, in my life, I was in the streets doing all this dumb stuff, but next to me, I may have an OG, an older cat, that he had an older cat in his life. You see what I mean by the domino effect? So he probably pulled some good stuff from that older cat, and then him being next to me, he was able to tell me a couple things that were, you know, good for me. So in those pivotal moments where I really did need some type of male guidance, even though we both in the streets, and it didn't mean that I was going to follow him to the bitter end, what it meant was, you have to be aware of when the knowledge is coming at you. You have to be, you have to keep your eyes and ears open when that game is being told to you, because you don't know where it's going to come from. It might be a bum on the street. You know what I mean? You might walk by and he might say something to you. Hey, young man, you want to stop and listen, because you don't know who he is, where he came from, and you don't know nothing. He might be wanting to just give a message to you before he pass away or something. You don't even know. So the thing is, as a young man, I was aware of this. So not all young men are aware of that, because a lot of young men don't listen to you. When, you know, they don't listen to the old heads. But when I was younger, that was our thing. We were like, we wanted to listen to the old heads because we knew they had game. So we love to be around old heads and listen because it gave us game as youngsters.
Right.
You know? So, and when I say game, you know, it's basically just knowledge. It's just wisdom. So yeah, I mean, my mom did the best she could, but when it came to that pivotal moment to say, all right, I want to be a man. Where do I look now? Where do I get these examples now? I pulled from different resources. I pulled from OGs on the street. I would watch Farrakhan movies and everything, and you know, Malcolm X. And like, I pulled what I could pull from every person who I thought fit the man mold, you know, and I sucked up game like a sponge.
That's nice. I mean, and you're right. A lot of the youngsters these days, they don't really want to hear what the older generation has to say. But I do have to give them a little bit of credit, because sometimes it is the way that is being delivered. And no one, no matter what your age is, you don't want to feel like you're being talked at. Like, you want to feel like, you know, we're having a conversation, you're talking to me, you're respecting me, and you're not just coming at me, coming for me all the time. So I know I hear that a lot from the younger generation, especially the young men. They're like, I don't want to hear, like, bro be talking to me and he just be, like, coming at me all crazy and making it seem like I'm out here just doing, you know, like, I'm trying to figure it out. But if you're going to talk to me, then talk to me, you know. They feel like they being nagged at, or, you know, being told what to do instead of being shown how to do it. So I know that a lot of boys without fathers often carry unspoken questions. Was there ever a moment when you realized that, you know, like, I'm coming a man now and I have to figure this out myself? Like, when did you get to that pivotal moment?
Believe it or not, it was when I went to jail. As long as I have my homeboys around me, I always felt protected and I felt untouchable. The minute I got in trouble and that police officer put me in handcuffs and I looked around, because most of the time when I'm in trouble or whatever, I have my homies right next to me. That moment, there was no homies. And I didn't know this man who was putting me in handcuffs. So he wasn't my homie. And then he just put me in the back of a car and closed the door. Mm-hmm. In that moment, in that second, is when I realized I can't call my mom. I can't call my homies. There was nobody but me in the back of the car.
Right.
And that's when I realized you either have to barbecue or mildew. That's when you're going to have to stand up or you're going to sit down. And nobody is there to help you do neither one. Some people fold. Some people don't make it. They break in those moments. And then others stand up and man up. And I guess it sucks that you would have to be in a situation like that to find out which one you are. But that's what happened. That was me in my life, like by myself in the back of the car, taking a ride to who knows where. I didn't even know. You know what I'm saying? Like, wow, all the stuff I seen on TV, now I'm doing this. You know what I mean? Like, man, I'm all by myself going in through this whole process all by myself. Like, you know, like you're by yourself in there. So then I was like, all right, you have to man up. So that was my moment. I would hope young men don't have to go through that to get their moment. Maybe it's something as simple as your girlfriend got pregnant.
Hmm.
That was another one. I mean, my girl was pregnant when I went to jail, but I got out in enough time right before she had the baby. But that time in jail made me think and reflect on what kind of father I wanted to be. So I had perfect timing to get it right in my head, at least, get out, go see my baby boy be born, and try to be the best man I can be at that point.
Right. That's good. So with facing all of those challenges, forming your identity, understanding what you needed to do, transitioning out of being a child into this man, because, I mean, I can understand those moments where, you know, at least with your story, in that moment, you had nobody. So it's just you. Like, and you're not being treated as a child anymore either in that moment. Like, they're like, hey, you know, there's no, we got to call his parents. No, he's grown now. There's no one to call. This is all you, buddy. Call somebody when we get here. But yeah, we're on our way. So I could see how that would be like, dang, like, I'm not a kid no more. Like, this is for real life happening to me. And there's nobody's going to call my parents for me or an adult for me in this moment. So now I got to figure it out. And I hate for people to have to, I hate for our young men to have to learn those lessons that way. That's such a hard way to have to learn life and deal with life in those moments. So with that, what were some challenges you faced? So with the challenges, because we already heard the challenges. So you were facing a lot of challenges with being in trouble, you know. But also you had the mentality where you could understand, like, this is right. What I'm seeing, what they're doing here is good. And what I see with this person doing over here is wrong. So I don't want to do that part of it, but I will take this good part from this person because that is something that, you know, is helpful, is fruitful to me. So how did that impact the way that you raised your sons? So how did that mold you into the fatherhood and the father you've become to your sons?
It was all the ideology in my head. It was not instantaneous. I thought many nights that I was going to be the best father. I tried many nights to be the best father, but I regressed right back to what I didn't know. I didn't know what a father was. I didn't, even having the OGs and looking at the videos and Farrakhan, and it didn't matter because when I had my son, I didn't know what it looked like. I didn't really know what it looked like. I just had the ideology. I had the fantasy stories of playing ball in the park with your boy and, you know, teaching him how to ride a bike. I had those fantasies. Right. But principles and values, again, those became real wishy-washy, so to speak, because I didn't know what a father looked like to his son. And now I'm playing the role. So then I was basically freestyling. I was freestyling being a father. And till this day, if you ever speak with my son, my oldest son, I've apologized to him a million times and he'll be like, "Dad, I don't know why you be apologizing." He's like, I didn't see you like that. But I knew the things that I was doing wrong around him, but he didn't see it. So that was one thing that I felt that I did do good. You know, if I smoked on the chronic, I didn't do it in front of him. You know what I'm saying? I may have did it and then got around him later. And that's mm-hmm. where my guilt came in, because I was like, "Oh no, he can smell it on me. He knows I'm high," whatever. But it was like, when he got grown, he was like, "Dad, I didn't even know."
Right.
You know, that was just me being paranoid, basically. But he was like, "I didn't even know." So I did do some things right. And then with my youngest son, you know, me and his mom didn't work it out. So he had to figure out some things on his own. And it's, so the cycle continues.
Right.
The cycle continues. Like, I wanted to be there for him. And I would have been a better father for him. But then the circumstances between me and his mom, then the cycle continues.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
But that's good, though, because even though you thought you weren't doing the best job, in hindsight, you really were, because most people wouldn't care about doing things in front of their children, you know. So, because what we tend to put aside is that we tend to do things that we're used to and familiar with from what we grew up with. So, "Oh, well, I grew up and my parents smoked and drank in front of me. It's no big deal. Them kids would be fine," you know. And it's like, no, no, not anymore. It's traumatizing, because then they're going to think like, "Oh, this is what we do." So we tend to repeat the cycle all the time because that's what we're used to. And you're either going to do one of the two things, which I've started to notice with people. You're either going to repeat the cycle and continue to keep up those bad habits, that things that you, because we don't realize that these are things that we didn't like. These are things that hurt us. These are things that made us have the trauma that we're dealing with today because of the things that we dealt with as children. And then we turn around and we do the same thing to our children. And it's like, but it's because we're trying to fix it. But it's not, we're not trying to fix it with our kids. We're trying to fix it with us. Like, it's the little person inside of us we're trying to make feel better. So, or you completely do the whole opposite. Like, people will go completely to the other spectrum and do everything the opposite. And they're like those strict parents, "Know this, know that." And it's just all this extra. And it's like, you got to chill, bro. Like, you got to relax. It's a lot. That's a lot. Like, let them kids be kids or something, you know? So I never see that there's really a middle ground when it comes to people when they're raising their children. And I think that we all have that, is we got to figure it out, you know, when we have our first child. It's always that. It's never what it was supposed, what it looks like, you know? I think we all feel like we're ready until it gets there and it's happening. And it's like, okay, I wasn't ready and I wasn't prepared. And am I doing this right or am I doing this wrong? I've definitely had those paranoid moments with my son when he was my first child. And I'm like, oh my God, he knows.
He knows. He knows. I know he knows.
Right. Yeah. Because I'm like, look how he's staring at me. I'm like, I can't do these things.
Can't do it.
Right? I'm like, I stopped doing it every, like, I like to have drinks and stuff. So I'm like, I can't even do that. This child looking at me like, what's wrong with you, lady? Like,
mm-hmm. I feel you.
So it is us messing with our heads. But to hear our kids let us know that, you know what, you were good, Dad. You know, you did good. Like, I didn't know none of those things were happening because you kept that stuff away from me. All I saw was what you were doing for me. You were there, you showed up for me, and you were in my life, you know? And I mean, so now you have your boys, you know, you've raised them in the likeness to, as far as, you know, your trials and errors and kind of come to this great middle ground, I would like to say. So you have your business, you know, it's successful with that. Doing your screen printing and from where you started from to where you are now. And then the example that your boys have to look up to, because if you take a moment to think about how your boys are doing now and what they look like as men, do you feel like they are being good men?
You know what? Yes. Yes. Like, can I reach back and wish that they did some different decisions? Yeah, of course. But overall, I'm really satisfied. My oldest son, he owns a painting business. And it's just crazy because, you know, he was chasing basketball. That was his thing. He was a basketball head. He was chasing the dream. And he just kept getting older and older. And I'm like, okay, I'm your number one fan, but, you know, it's time, buddy. Like, it's time for that man talk. And I think his man moment came when he actually got signed, went over there, some country, I don't even remember, and he was by himself over there, and he realized that he wasn't getting paid as much as he dreamed of getting paid. Mm-hmm. And, you know, after the first year or half a year being there, he's like, Dad, this is not what I wanted. I'm like, you chased it your whole life, though, mm-hmm. you know? But he's like, the money's not there, and they're not even playing me like I thought I would. You know, like, he was just realizing so much. And when he came back home, he, you know, I felt good because instead of him just moping and being sad and depressed, he jumped right in and started working. And I was like, wow, you know, so he used his basketball drive and he started working, started his own business. So those type of things make me feel like I did something. You know, because he sees me as an entrepreneur. He sees me hustling and working hard. And hopefully I transferred that on to him.
Sounds like it.
You know, and then my youngest son, he went through all his tribulations and everything with me not being around, but I'm still there in his ear. I'm still able to drop that bug. So I'm basically the OG in my youngest son's life. Because he doesn't respect me as that father like my oldest one does, but he respects me like the OG. And that's how I talk to him. So I'm able to still transfer the values and principles to him, even though I missed out on, you know, spanking his ass and doing all those things that fathers do. I missed out on that part. But now that he's past that, mm-hmm. now I can shape him and kind of chisel him into being that man and being a hard worker and taking care of his son and doing his thing.
Right. Work. Absolutely. Sounds like you did a great job. The example you were setting actually worked out for you.
Yeah. You just don't know. That's the whole thing. You just really don't know what you're doing.
You don't. You know, as parents, we don't. I do just want to ask, like, for the guys out there, our young men that are looking for what manhood is, or, you know, have questions about it, how would you, in your own words, define it?
How would I define manhood?
Yeah, coming into yourself.
Whoa, that's deep. That's a deep one. I would define manhood as being responsible. That's probably the biggest form of manhood, or the biggest trick to being a man, is be responsible. It's not about age. I know some guys older than me that's irresponsible, you know, but I mean, age wise, they're men, they're physically men, but I think the definition of manhood is to be responsible. If you have bills, pay your bills. If you can't pay your bills with your current job, get a second job. Try to elevate yourself. Take you a few classes here and there. Like, whatever you got to do, especially if you got a family. You know, I know we're in modern times and women work and everything. I get that. But it would benefit you to put your mind frame in the olden days, because in the olden days, it was the man that had to work to take care of the bills and this, that, and the other. It would benefit you as a boy that's turning into a man to put your mind frame in that state of mind, because that's what I did. And that's what helped me become a man that much faster and better. Because I started putting in my head, if I'm going to have a wife, I have to take care of her. I started doing this, even though I know women are like, I don't need no man to take care of me and all that. I get that part. But my thing is, the man has to think that way. He has to think that way. He has to be the head of his household. All that means is be the provider. Be the protector. That's really what it means. And be responsible. That's it. Just be responsible, man. Like, you know, you're not going to be perfect, but you got to be responsible. You're responsible for so much in your household. You know, even if your wife or girl or whatever it is, she might be smart, independent, and all that because her parents raised her that way. But when she get with you, your job is to show her what it feels like to be with a man, a real man. That's your job. Because maybe your girl or your wife might have her defenses up because she was raised that way to be independent. You can't depend on a man or blah, 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 blah. Your job is to break those walls down so she can be her feminine self and be her natural feminine self. That is your job. So that you can be your masculine self, and then we can put the energies in perspective. We got the feminine energy and the masculine energy, and then y'all can become one. But, man, don't get me to talking.
No, that is good. That's really good, because, you know, one thing I do tell, especially my son, you know, you have to be responsible. You have to make good decisions, you know. You know what's right and you know what's wrong. It's the choices you make. So if you're going to make the right decision or you're going to make the wrong decision, but you have to stand on everything that you do. So stand on it. But if you know you're doing wrong, I'm like, that's not a man. It's not even an adult to not own what it is that you're doing. So, and I think that's just, not even just from a man's point of view, a woman's point of view too. If you're going to be an adult, stand on your word, own what it is and the choices that you do. So we all know right from wrong. We all know how to make good and bad choices. And if we're choosing to make those bad choices and be irresponsible, then there's no whining and crying when the consequences come knocking.
Facts.
Okay, you guys, with that being said, I wanted to say, you know, we got to stop believing that manhood is something that's handed to you. You guys need to start building. Take all the good things that you wanted. Like, if you didn't have a father, what is it that you were looking for when you were a child from your father? Or if you had a dad in your life, what is it that you wanted? Start taking those things, those positive things and those pieces, and start building those and putting them into your daily routines, into your morals, into your values. Start working on those things. Start looking for mentors, men that are doing positive things in the world, men that you see have families that are working, that are there for their families. You know, you're not, they're not just out here doing whatever. Find those good role models in your life. You're going to look for the truth as well, because you need people that are going to be honest with you. Too many people in this world today that love to hear things being sugarcoated and hear what sounds good, because it doesn't feel good to hear the truth sometimes. But it's in those moments where you're hearing the truth and you may not like it, is what you need to hear so that you can start changing those things. And you're going to want to be disciplined. Start disciplining yourself. If you're somebody that procrastinates a lot or somebody that's not on time, start working on building discipline in your life. Start showing up 5 minutes earlier, 2 minutes earlier, even a minute early. Like, you, hey, I was a minute early. I ain't late. You know,
right.
I know I'm always late, but I got here a minute early today. Like, you know.
Yeah.
Piece by piece, little steps by step, you know, and the discipline will bring you the success that you're looking for, because then you can start building on the things that you want in life, because you have the patience and you have the responsibility that you need to keep those things going and moving forward. So, and also the last thing, you guys understand that your story doesn't end with who wasn't there. It begins with who you decide to be. So do you want to be the person that wasn't there in your life, or do you want to be the person that's going to always be there for your family and your children? So.
Speak to them.
We're going to go into our quote of the night. Our quote tonight, you guys, is: a boy becomes a man the moment he chooses to rise above what he didn't receive. And I just said that, you guys. The moment that you choose to be better and different than what you did not have, and you want to show up in that way, is the moment that I believe that you truly will rise above and become the person that you want to be, the man that you want to be, or even the woman that you want to be. Be who it is that you didn't have or what you didn't receive. Did you want to say some last final thoughts, Lars, to our listeners?
You know, I feel like you hit everything on the nail. And I just want to say that for all the young men out there that are doing their thing, keep doing it. But don't think that the journey ends. Being a man never ends. You know, you mentioned something about being on time. I have an issue with that. And I know I have an issue with it, but I'm practicing every day. I'm doing, like, so it's a challenge every single day to keep showing up for that manhood. It's not easy, you guys. You're not gonna get to some level and be like, yep, I'm a man now, I can do everything, you know, I pay my bills, I do this. No, it don't stop. It doesn't stop there. There's some more stuff that you can do. Maybe you need to incorporate a little more God in your life, or incorporate a little more prayer in your life, or, you know, real men cry. Maybe you need to cry sometimes. You know, real men cry. And We don't talk about it enough. We don't cry enough. We don't, you know, we don't hug. Real men don't have too much affection except just with our wives or girls or whatever. But what about going to hug another man? What about that? You think a boy don't want to be hugged by a man because we're men, quote unquote? Nah, it's the same. So it's a lot of things that being a man is continuously evolving. So keep going, young man. Keep going.
Absolutely. It is. It's a non-ending fountain of growth and learning. I like to tell people all the time, especially you young men and you young women out there, there's always something that you can be learning. and improving on. So never stop. Never think that you've reached a point where there's nothing else to learn and there's nothing else to improve in your life. As you get older, you start changing. So you become a new person. I believe it's every 10 to 15 years, you're a whole new person. Something to grow, something to look forward to, lots of things that are coming at you that are new, never experienced before. Keep on the journey. Stay focused, you guys, and seek out help. Questions. If you have someone in your life that you can go and talk to and ask these questions to, if you're feeling confused or down or just don't know what to do, find someone that you can talk to and confide in, and that's going to help you in a positive way. Okay. So I want to thank you, Ms. Dolores, for being raw, honest, and powerful tonight. It has been a great conversation. See, your story is going to reach a lot of people. I think that it will reach a lot of the young men out here today. And to everyone listening, especially the ones navigating life without a father, your journey is still yours to write, you guys. You can grow, you can heal, you can redefine manhood, and you can break cycles that broke others. So until next time, you guys, take a deep breath, relax, take your power back, and stay focused, and open your hearts and take care of it. And remember that the night, it always has something to say. Until next time, guys.